mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 12. Click. Huh. A whisper of thread and cloth. Another soft, almost inaudible. Click. Uncle, Zuko said thoughtfully, you might want to look at this. Evening tea in hand, I removed to see what his nephew was doing. Sitting cross-legged on the floor with scissors and a bowl and his new green robes, from which he had carefully pulled out the threads binding the hems. Oh, dear. Click. Frowning, Iroh crouched to reach into the bowl, pressing a fingertip down to pick up one of the tiny stone beads. Gray, mostly quartz, no bigger than a millet grain. And one of many Zuko was picking out of the robe's inner hems. And this was given to you by a Dai Li. I can think of a lot of things they could do to someone wearing these, and I don't like any of them, Zuko said grimly, picking out another bead. Click. Interesting, Iroh murmured, considering the potential motives behind such a perilous gift. Serious harm seemed possible, but unlikely. The amount of stone was small, and even an earthbender who knew they were there would be hard-pressed to pull them together swiftly enough to draw blood. They could tangle and bind, certainly, hampering an unwary wearer. But the trap was not as lethal as it first appeared. Iroh's eyebrows arched in surprise as an unlikely possibility occurred to him. We must mend these tonight after you have finished, the retired general said thoughtfully. You should wear this when you are called to check the bear again. Zuko frowned, teasing out more stone. They'll ask for Amaya. I believe they will ask for you. Zuko stared at the bead in his hand, then at him. Is this some kind of test? It may be. I stuck to the story, Zuko whispered, face ashen. There are some things you cannot hide, and they have nothing to do with that scar. Iroh added sharply, as his nephew's hand crept towards his face. Spirits, how do I say this? My brother decreed you useless, and you have no idea how wrong he was. You have habits of caution most your age lack. You move in a balanced stance. You determine where in a room you are and how you might best leave it if violence erupts. And while most within these walls are civilians with no knowledge of what they see, the Dai Li aren't most. Zuko swallowed and deliberately dropped the latest bead into the bowl. It'd look worse if I showed up with these still there, wouldn't it? For one they suspect has a warrior's training. Yes, it would. Jet, Zuko snarled, almost a curse. It is likely someone made note of that fight. Iroh stroked his beard, thinking. Keep to our story. Your mother was Foggy Swamp, and we have traveled for years, mostly on the western coast. If this Shirong has already noted you can pass for Fire Nation, he may draw his own conclusions. Zuko went from pale to red, shaking. My parents were married. And there is no reason to claim they were not, Iroh said calmly. Sozin's forces were in the Earth Kingdom decades before I was born. If we are pressed, if there is no way to escape without some explanation, then admit you suspect one of your grandparents was a colonial, but insist the family has never spoken of such things, which is fact, and will help the tale ring true. His nephew looked down, fury fading. I didn't intend to get us in trouble. Iroh smiled and rested a hand on his shoulder. You cannot help being who you are, Prince Zuko. I do not think they believe you are an enemy. Then why? I do not yet know, Iroh said truthfully, though he had suspicions. none of which quite made sense, given that Dai Li knew his nephew was not an earthbender. Lean on Li. Be wary but calm when they speak with you. You have done nothing wrong. He lowered himself to the floor, eyeing the opened hem. Let us see how swiftly we can clear this trap. Gather and throw. Water snapped closed around the candle, flickering flame trapped in a bubble of air. Letting out a slow breath, Zuko held the trailing strand of the water net in his right hand, carefully concentrating, brought the main strand over with his left, and gingerly slipped it free. And tried, yet again, to do the impossible. Water yields and changes. Use a light, steady grip. Steady. Reaching out with his left hand, he sought fierce determination and pushed slowly down. Inside the smoke-darkened bubble, the flames sank into a bare glow around the wick. Two kinds of energy. Ow, my head. No, he wasn't going to quit. Not yet. Zuko reeled in the net, setting the candle down on the floor in front of him. This was where it had gone wrong a dozen times before. Gentle movements, like stroking fire lilies. Water curled back like petals, exposing the red glowing wick. He held it to just that glow, despite the rush of fresh air. 3, 2, 1, and released. The candle flared back into life, casting golden glints across the water still curled around wax. I did it! Water wavered, threatened to fall. Don't jump. It's not fire. Move smoothly. Call it. A curl of his fingers and water coalesced into a globe in his palm. Zuko smiled thinly and tipped it back into the pitcher. Then collapsed backwards onto the floor of the room, stifling tired giggles. I did it! Granted, compared to what he'd seen at the North Pole, it was about as impressive as one sparkler in the midst of a festival fireworks display. But it worked! Uncle always said, if you don't know what you're doing, start small. I wish I could tell him. Head against wood, Zuko winced. He had to tell Iroh. Granted, they were working on the evacuation plan together, but he'd be surprised if there weren't half a dozen aspects of it that the retired general had thought of and he hadn't yet. Things that might hinge on them both being firebenders of Sozin's blood. I have to tell him. I just can't. Not yet. I'm ashamed. Shame, inner turmoil, part of what Uncle thought kept him from the calm needed for lightning. I'm ashamed to be a waterbender. Why am I ashamed? I didn't ask for this. I didn't want it. The spirits just decided to screw with me like they have all my life. Because we're Sozin's children. Sozin the hero, Sozin the conqueror, Sozin who'd instigated a bloody massacre whose extent made Zuko sick. It was one thing to walk in the Western Air Temple a century after the bloodshed had ended. Another to have met Aang, to have hunted him across the world and slowly realize there had once been thousands of airbenders just like him, soaring between the four corners of the earth. How could he? How could anyone? Zuko shivered and sat up, faintly nauseous, just thinking about how they died. Men, women, and children. It made him feel ashamed. I'm ashamed to be Sozin's heir. I'm ashamed not to be Sozin's heir. I'm confused. It hurts. It ached inside. Like being trapped under ice without air. His thoughts were scattered as feathers in the wind. He didn't know what to do. It wasn't fair. Prince Zuko. Iroh's voice. One of many long ago lessons. If you are lost in the wilderness, the first thing you must do is sit down. Sit down. Calm down. Breathe. The candle flame breathed with him. What do you have, and what do you need? What he had was impossible. Focus, damn it. What he had was himself and Uncle and an as yet unknown possible amount of help from the rest of the hidden folk in Ba Sing Se. What he needed? I want to save my people. Nice goal. Very pretty. The kind of thing the Avatar would get behind, if they were anybody but Fire Nation. Aang is an idealistic idiot. What do you need? What can you do? Survival. Focus on the basics. Breathe. Feel the heartbeat of the flame. I need some place some of my people can survive. All right. Assuming he and Uncle pulled off a miracle and outwitted the spirits long enough to make this work, some would survive. Though it wouldn't be the Fire Nation he'd grown up in. In the Fire Nation, Jinhai could be challenged to an Agni Kai at 13. I don't want that to happen. It's wrong. Don't think about it. So, one small band of exiles to keep the fire alive. What would stop earth and water from just rolling right over them? We need fortifications, and we'll have to be smart about them. Metal if we can get it, wood if we can't, tremor sensors to detect earthbenders making tunnels. Having other elements on our side would help a lot. If the Wen family comes, earthbenders would let us build multiple lines of defense. We could even build walls meant to come down. Breathing and flame were steady. Good. So, how does being a waterbender affect the plan? Assuming the people he was trying to help didn't mind waterbenders. They knew Amaya. It shouldn't be a problem. If he was trained, if he had the courage to tell Amaya and ask for her help, it could even be an asset. Diverting water made a lot of things easier. Healing would save lives. One down. Zuko glanced at the candle, making sure nothing flammable was in yards. Now, think. Does it matter if you're of Sozin's line? Does it matter for the plan? Flames burst up a foot before he could damp them again. It hurt. Gripping his knees, Zuko fought the anger and grief and bewilderment back down. Like it or not, true or not, he and Iroh had both been declared traitors to the Dragon Throne. It didn't matter who they were, not anymore. Anyone who comes is going to come because they want to, not because they're loyal to us. Which would be the case with anyone who showed up later as well. And Uncle seemed convinced people would show up. Think about that. Iroh frowned. The hidden folk here, they ran and they made it, but they're hiding. We wouldn't be hiding. We're not going to be sending up fireworks, but we won't be hiding. If people know there's somewhere else to go, if they get the idea that you can make it somewhere else to go, what would happen if Ozai died and some of the great names just didn't confirm their loyalty to Azula? You'd have to have guts to pull it off. You'd have to have power and a fortified domain and loyal people. There were places like that in the Fire Nation. Some of the smaller, more out-of-the-way islands, who contributed men and weapons to the war, but otherwise mostly kept to themselves. Just the kind of places that'd most likely survive an angry world's retribution. If we can pull this off, we won't be alone. None of that needed him to be Prince Zuko, son of Ozai, grandson of Azulon. They'd have a plan. Those they were trying to rescue would think it was a good plan, or they wouldn't. That was it. He had to put his head down and just breathe. The room kept trying to spin. It doesn't matter who I am. If the plan is good, it doesn't matter if I'm a crown prince, or just Lee, the refugee. Only it did matter. And not just to him. I'm not Lee. I wish I was. Lee doesn't have orders. Still, the Avatar wasn't here. And if he's smart, he never will be. The army keeps attacking this place. He'd be an idiot to come here when he hasn't mastered all four elements yet. Oh, wait. Zuko sighed, gripping the bridge of his nose. He's an idiot, but Katara's got some sense. And Toph sounds pretty solid from what Uncle said. He won't be here. And given that going after three master benders on his own, plus one idiot with a boomerang, was a quick way to get himself dropped in a bloodied heap somewhere, and given Azula was probably following the whole idealistic bunch like a vulture wasp on a corpse scent, no. He was loyal. He was. But Azula wanted him dead, and he was not going to hand himself over gift-wrapped. So, simple enough. So long as he was in Ba Sing Se, he'd do what he could for his people. The Avatar would just have to wait. I chased ghosts for almost 3 years. At least now I know he's real. A real headache, which he was not going to think about anymore tonight. He had work in the morning. Maybe they'll forget about the bear. Morning singing through his veins as he stood in the luxurious kennel. Zuko eyed the bear in the ridiculous green jacket and hat. Bosco eyed him back, shifted restlessly, muzzle starting to wrinkle in a snarl. Sit. Groove? Blinking innocently, Bosco sat, as if it'd been his idea all along. Hot water wrapped around his hands. Zuko ran his fingers over brown fur, paying special attention to the generous gut. So far, everything seemed fine. A few knots twinged at him, recalling other unwise meals. He melted those, as much as they'd let him. Be thorough. Maybe you won't have to come back. It's amazing how he listens to you, the Earth King said cheerfully. Not even one playful nip. Brown bear eyes peered Zuko's way, tongue slurping in anticipation of just such a nip. Zuko glared. The tongue slipped back inside the mouth, as if sucked up through a straw. Right, behave or else. You really shouldn't let him bite people. Muzzle his natural protective instincts? The king said, aghast. He's my friend! Your friend has enough teeth and claws to make the Unagi think twice. One of these days, somebody's gonna regret that. Zuko stifled a sigh. If we let ostrich horses follow their natural instincts, they'd bolt every time a Komodo rhino came onto the field. Why would that ever be a problem? The Earth King asked, puzzled. Komodo rhinos live in the Fire Nation. Right, Zuko said uneasily, aware of listening ears. But what if... Damn, what do I say? Azula would know what to say. She got Ty Lee to believe in her. Oh. What about traveling circuses? He blurted out.
Oh, yeah, that sounds plausible. Good going.
Traveling circuses? The Earth King said skeptically. Well, they have animal acts and... As brown brows climbed higher, Zuko sighed. Never mind, he's fine. Just don't let him eat anything else that's not food.
Animal acts? The Earth King chuckled. You're a strange young man. You have no idea.
Well, you may go.
Your Majesty,
Zuko managed stiffly, kneeling, and retreated as fast as was politely possible.
Hate this. Hate this. Hope I never have to do it again.
A green uniformed figure fell in silently beside him.
Circuses? Shirong said, amused.
It could happen,
Zuko said defensively, braced himself with Lee, trying to think and act like a typical refugee.
A refugee they know can use Dao. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Xirong kept walking beside the young man, enjoying the unexpected silence. Li didn't try to explain or defend himself. He just offered a possible, if not very plausible, explanation and let it drop.
Interesting young man.
Half Foggy Swamp, according to the report on the tea shop brawl, which wasn't in his official papers. But then, it seemed like there was quite a bit about Li and his uncle that wasn't in their papers.
Original hometown listed as Taku. Right.
Taku wasn't there anymore. Nothing really was, except a half-mad herbalist and that damn Pohuai stronghold with its thrice-damned Yuyan, which made it the perfect place to base papers for people trying to hide something, well, possibly even worse than Kin in the Foggy Swamp.
He really does have their looks, poor kid.
Could come in handy, though, as could the waterbending, especially given the special situation they had in the Upper Ring.
Avatar Kyoshi left us prepared to deal with any element, but that isn't the same as having someone who can feel it.
Granted, the situation was currently under control, but you could never tell what kids that age would do. And the thought of a 14-year-old waterbending master loose in his city gives Xirong cold chills.
Still, Li's not an earthbender. If we're going to make exceptions, he's got to be worth it.
Well, time to figure out how badly Li reacted to booby traps. Xirong lifted gloved fingers slightly, gestured. A small bag slid out of Li's left sleeve. The teenager caught it automatically, then stopped, and turned to hold it out to him with a bow.
I didn't break any. They looked like they took time to make.
Startled, Xirong took it and gestured more openly. Tiny as they were, any lone bead should still respond. Nothing. Not a whisper of earth from collar or hems.
You found them.
Li's lone brow lifted.
Wasn't I supposed to?
Xirong weighed the young man in his gaze and smiled wryly.
Come with me.
He led them through walls and corridors into one of the small rock rooms his fellow agents used for private conversations, set the pouch down on a low table, where a long bag already rested.
How did you find them?
I noticed the color. Li's face was serious, but a little quiet pride warred with the wariness in his gaze. Then I felt something in the hem, so when I got home, I checked. He rubbed cloth between his fingers.
Water, you have to feel what you're doing. I haven't had a lot of practice, but I know that much.
And you're still not asking why, Xirong noted. You want to. I can see how badly you want to. But you know enough to be wary of us. So you're waiting, no matter how hard it is.
Wary, but not afraid. Interesting. I'm surprised someone with your sword skills wants to be a healer.
Master Amaya is a good teacher, Li said lovingly. I can waterbend. I can't get away from that. I have to learn how to control it. A sardonic snort. Or every tea shop in Ba Sing Se is gonna throw me out, and my uncle loves tea.
Observant, good blade skills, and sarcastic understatement.
My, my.
I'm told women from the Northern Water Tribe aren't taught combative waterbending,
Xirong said lovingly, taking a blue-capped scroll tube out of the bag.
That seems like a shame.
Li stood still as ice, only his eyes burned, green flame in a pale face.
Thought so. You're a fighter. You know what this is, and you want it.
Xirong kept his gaze locked on the teenagers.
You want it, but you know there's going to be a price, and some prices are too high. You're not one to be trapped that way, are you? If what I ask is too much, If you believe it will lead to more than your soul can bear, you'll walk right out that door.
Good. Good.
Weak-spirited benders had no place in the Dai Li. They might be fit enough for the outer wall, where all they faced were human enemies. Inside the walls, where dissent and restless spirits roamed, you couldn't send a man ruled by his own desires up against a Kamui. It'd be a slaughter.
Do you love this city, Li?
I've only been here a few days, the teenager said quietly, still looking at him, and not the scroll.
But you have people you care about here, Shirong said evenly. People you want to protect.
He raised a hand for patience as the boy took a dangerous step back.
That is not a threat. I don't know who's tried to kill you in the past, besides that young idiot Jet, but I would never threaten your uncle. Family is important.
Why else would we fight? Honor? Pride? The agent shook his head. Leave those to young fools who don't know any better. You know what's important. You protected your family, and you left a young idiot alive to learn from his mistakes. He had to chuckle. Not only that, you made it so glaringly obvious he was wrong, he may just settle down and become a decent citizen, which would be best for everyone.
Li let out a slow breath, still wary as an alley pygmy puma.
What do you want?
Want? I want those with the power to protect this city to have the skills they need as well.
Shirong held out the scroll.
This is a loan, not a gift. I'm going to need it back.
Li's hand closed around it, firmly but not too tight. I'll show this to Master Amaya and ask if she considers this appropriate to learn. Tucking the scroll into his kit, he bowed formally.
You do that,
Shirong said lightly, returning the bow, escorted the young man back to the main corridors, and silently perched on a handy wall to watch him leave. Not long after, quiet feet stopped underneath him.
Well, Longfeng said dryly.
Smirking, Shirong dropped the bag of beads into his hands. Longfeng hefted the rustling cloth, puzzled, brought it near his ear, shook it, and jerked his head up to eye Shirong in amazement.
Every last one,
Shirong said with great satisfaction. His leader frowned. Even a skilled earthbender
could apparently learn something from paranoid fingers.
Shirong shrugged.
Hmm.
The Grand Secretariat nodded. What did you promise him?
Nothing.
Longfeng arched a brow.
That boy's dealt with manipulators before, sir. Dangerous ones. One hint of a snare, he'll be gone.
He's inside the impenetrable city, Longfeng said dryly. Where would he go?
He'd think of something. Shirong shifted against the wall, thinking. You don't promise an abandoned pygmy puma, sir. You leave out food, and you leave the window open. And you wait.
We have dozens of eager candidates, Longfeng said levelly. Why should we wait for this one?
Besides the reasons you outlined before, sir?
Waterbender, Earth Kingdom native, already trained to be dangerous, known family here, so it's in his interest to cooperate.
He's not eager, which means when he is convinced, he'll stay that way.
He's inventive, tenacious, and thorough,
and he knows how to discipline himself, even when it's something he wants very badly.
Longfeng stood still, eyes half closed as he considered that. Nodded once. I assume by wait, you mean that your efforts with him will not conflict with your other duties?
It's unlikely they would. Shirong glanced down. Did a report come in I should be aware of?
No. But Longfeng still frowned. They claim to have been wandering for some time. If this boy is the quality we need, why hasn't the army found him before now?
His uncle, Shirong said levelly,
Who else is going to look after an old man with no family? I doubt Jet's the first one to attack them.
Hmm.
The Grand Secretariat nodded. Carry on. The Dai Li are trying to recruit me. Heading through the busy streets of the Middle Rings early afternoon for Jinhai's first lesson, Zuko tried, again, to make sense out of the situation. He'd seen politics and negotiations played out for as long as he'd been old enough to remember. Shirong was subtle, a lot more like Lieutenant G or even his uncle than a blustering weasel snake like Zhao. But not subtle enough. He knew what had just happened. It just didn't make sense. The Dai Li are trying to... Oh, hell. Tell Uncle! Tell Amaya! And try not to think about it. A refugee wouldn't know what just happened, right? He didn't know, which was sobering and scary at once. How could people spend their whole lives not knowing the deadly dance of lords and courts? How can I pass for normal when I don't even know what it is? At least one good thing had come out of the whole mess. Uncle was right. They didn't think he was Fire Nation. Shirong would never have offered that scroll to an enemy. I'm being followed. Zuko had grown up in cities before he'd been cast out into the wilds of the world. He knew this game. First, match the crowd's pace. Sometimes that was enough to throw off an unskilled pursuer. Blending in with dozens of other people turned a clear target into one beast in a Komodo rhino stampede. If his tail hadn't marked him specifically, he has. Zuko glanced subtly back to catch the ripple in the crowd as someone forced their way through around a knot of happily chatting wives out to market. The people between them hid who he sought, but from their gazes of disapproval and startled fear, male, probably younger than they are, probably armed. Oh, hell. Up ahead, the odd flutter of a noodle shop curtain caught Zuko's eye. No one had just passed through, and the breeze from the street shouldn't push that way, which meant the breeze had to come from somewhere else. Yes! Speeding up, Zuko smiled and fell in beside another knot of women bent on acquiring dry noodles for tonight's dinner. Politely worked his way around the edge of colorful dresses as they stopped for a last-minute discussion on the merits of northern winter wheat versus southern summer. Hovered on the far side of a stately, elderly matron, head down as if he wouldn't even think of cutting ahead of his elders, and vanished down the tiny alley just beside the shop. Hurry, any minute he'll realize you're not with them. The alley was almost skinny enough to climb like a rock chimney. Unsure exactly how resilient his water skin was, Zuko resisted the temptation. Fingers and boots finding holds on the shop's earth-bent stone walls. One floor, two floor, three, roof. He swung up onto the umber clay tiles, quiet feet careful not to dislodge any that might be less than securely fastened. Crept into the best shadows he could find that would keep him hidden yet still let him look. Even from above, the twin hook swords were unmistakable. Damn it! He'd rather have been followed by Dai Li. Not that Zuko wanted to be followed by anyone, but the Dai Li knew Amaya. They probably also knew the Wen family were long-standing patients. If her apprentice visited, well, what was odd about that? But if Jet saw Mei Xiang, or Jinhai, he was looking for Fire Nation on a secret ferry. Why wouldn't he look for them here? Jinhai had just started bending. If Jet frightened him, there would be sparks counting on it. I'm not going to let that happen. Right, he'd just sneak away, circle around, leave Jet fuming in the streets. No, not just his own hot temper. Li bristling like a porcupine bear. I'm Amaya's apprentice. I have every right to be walking these streets. He's the one who should be skulking, not me. Not the most cautious reaction, but sometimes the cautious plan wasn't the smart one. I'm Li,
Amaya's apprentice, an Earth Kingdom waterbender, and I've done nothing wrong. I have to act like it. Okay, act like an outraged, innocent teenager. But Jet was armed. He's never lived in cities, Zuko thought. If you're not a great name, you don't go armed unless you're looking for trouble. Water sloshed as he leaned back in shadow, and Zuko froze. I am armed. Think it through. If you heat up the water, you can firebend it. But if he still thinks we're Fire Nation, you don't want to do that. Meaning you're stuck with something you can barely use. He's coming! Country bred or not, it looked like Jet had finally spotted the alley. Fists clenched, he stalked in. Loosening the cap on his water skin, Zuko beckoned coolness around his hands. For a moment, he thought the angry teenager would walk by. But wherever he'd come from, Jet must have some experience tracking. The freedom fighter glanced at the wall and stiffened. Throw! Water snapped, dead on target. Zuko yanked and leather tore. Clutching still-sheathed hook swords, Zuko glared down at Jet. Why are you following me? Chewing on yet another wheat straw, Jet glared back. Maybe you didn't notice, but it's a free city. That is so many kinds of wrong. Fine. Water back in its sheath, Zuko shook the swords. Good luck ever finding these again. Yeah, why not? Jet said darkly. You kill and burn and murder. Why not steal too? You're still... Zuko swore under his breath, fighting the temptation to shower sparks. Bad idea. Are you blind? I'm a waterbender. Your uncle's not. Brown eyes narrowed at him. I know what he is. Must not kill, idiot. I already told you. Your mother was from Foggy Swamp, Jet said contemptuously. His brother's wife? If he even is your uncle. Though I guess that's not a lie. No way would a firebender pick up some orphan who looks like the losing side of a fire duel. Will not kill him. The world shimmered in a red haze. He wanted to break something. Lots of things. Preferably Jet's bones. There was a smirk tugging at Jet's mouth as he subtly shifted stance. He's waiting for me to come down there. I don't think so. The rage didn't fade. If anything, it burned hotter. But he was a firebender. He could hold fire in his bare hands if he wanted. And he would hold his temper. Now. You make me sick. Jet's smirk slipped. A fresh start, you said. A second chance. And you want to harass an old man who works at a tea shop? Zuko's eyes narrowed. What kind of freedom fighter picks on civilians? There's a whole wall that needs people on it, protecting it. Protecting innocent people trying to survive here. You want to fight Fire Nation? He jabbed a finger towards the outer wall, looming far in the distance. Go fight out there. And let a happy little traitor's family slip away, Jet taunted, muscles tensing to spring and climb the wall. I don't think, don't ever call my uncle a traitor again. Eyes suddenly wary, Jet backed up a step, almost to the opposite wall. Zuko forced himself to breathe, water curling around his hands like octopus tentacles. I didn't call... Never mind. Use the anger. Don't let it use you. That's what this is all about, isn't it? I still have a family, and you don't, you bastard. What would you know about it? Jet flung up at him. You've never lost anything to those Fire Nation. What the hell makes you think that? Don't kill him. Amaya will be disappointed if you kill him. I lost my parents. Mother gone, a father that only wanted him disgraced or dead. I lost my sister! Maybe Azula had never been anything but evil. He didn't know. But losing Mom had sent her spiraling into Ozai's approval, and there was nothing he could do to stop it. I lost everything I had!
my honor, my country, my throne. Breathe. Move the water. Don't make it steam. I lost everything, Zuko said more quietly. Except my uncle. And you want to hurt him too? He stared down, pinning the brown gaze with his own. Let me tell you something about the Water Tribes, Jet. The most important thing there is family. And uncle is mine. Jet's eyes shifted to Dancing Water. Sure, bend your way out of trouble. You can't take me in a fair fight, and you know it. Zuko let himself smirk, fire still blazing in his veins. That's not gonna work, he said, almost kindly. I told you, family. That means I don't have to fight fair. His smirk deepened and showed a faint glint of teeth. I don't have to fight at all. Jet was back against the wall now, face slowly paling as his shoulders pressed against stone. Stay away from me, Zuko said, voice deadly quiet. Stay away from my uncle. Water snaking back into the skin, he turned and headed across the roof, leaving the swords behind. Or what? Jet hurled defiantly after him. Snorting, Zuko stepped into a blind spot formed by a chimney and a flapping line of laundry and vanished. You're not stupid. You figured out. Though he wasn't quite sure about the not stupid part. For a guy who thought they were murdering Fire Nation scum, Jet seemed to be risking a lot on the assumption they'd behave like civilized people. Maybe he'll think it through. Maybe. For now, he'd lost the angry teen. Time to put that to good use. A firebender. Waiting inside the front door, Suyin picked nervously at her cuffs. Lee's a real firebender, and he's going to help. She wasn't sure how to feel about that. On the one hand, the relief was strong enough to knock her silly. She wasn't going to be alone anymore, trying to keep fires from flaring and sparks from flying. Not that she'd been totally alone, but Gia was so busy with her classes and her friends and her bending, and keeping Min from poking his nose in, which had been a lot of help, really. On the other hand, some boy she didn't know was going to be teaching her little brother. Sure, Amaya vouched for him, and he'd acted a lot less blue-nosed monkey, ooh-ooh-ooh, than Min did. But what did she really know about him? Besides the fact that he was a firebender, and he wanted to train her, too. I'm not even a bender. None of them had overheard what Mom and Dad said to each other after Professor Dad came back from Amaya's clinic, but you could hear the tone. Some of it was angry, and some surprised, and then there had been this one odd thump right in the middle of it all. And her dad had wandered out of the bedroom, rubbing his head and looking very thoughtful. Wrong period artifact in the dig, thoughtful. And Mom came out just a little after, looking oddly sheepish and amused all at once, with her clothes a little disheveled. And not in that way. After which, Dad had asked her, very seriously, if she would take that first lesson with Jinhai, just to see what she thought. Well, what she thought was that Min had come within a pinprick of exploding when he'd found out Jinhai's first lesson was going to be while he was off at class. As if Dad and Mom couldn't handle one teenager, firebender or not. At least Gia had been sane about the whole thing, asking Suyin to pick up any tidbits she'd miss while she was off at poetry class. Though I'm not sure I can find out everything she wants to know, Suyin thought doubtfully. I can ask about family, sure, and what it's like working with Amaya and some other stuff. There was a knock at the door. Heart in her throat, Suyin peeked through the peephole. Green, scary green, almost Dai Li, but there's no hat. Li looked up, and she felt a rush of relief, and tried not to look at the scar. Can I come in? Yes, hold on. She fumbled the door open, swallowing. Shut it after he'd silently stepped inside. We thought the basement? She filled her lungs and called upstairs. Mom, Dad, Lee's here! Suyin glanced back in time to see Lee take his hands away from his ears.
You're going to do fine on the breathing lessons, he said dryly. Thanks. Was that a compliment? It didn't sound like one, but it didn't sound mean either. Weird. Her parents came down with Jinhai between them, and Suyin saw the moment Jinhai saw Lee. Her little brother just lit up, eyes wide and bright and hopeful, as if Mom had come home after a long day dealing with other professors' wives. Lee caught the flying little boy as he was hugged, looking stunned, as if he'd just been slugged. Is something wrong? You came! You really came! Jinhai pulled back enough to look up, green eyes doubtful as he chewed on his lip. You kind of felt like a spirit story. I didn't know if you were really real. I'm real, Lee said quietly, looked up at her parents. Professor, madam. Downstairs would be wise, her father said plainly. Shall we? Suyin pulled the new cellar door shut after them, wondering how long this one would last, and just what Lee had done to break rock the way she'd thought only an earthbender could. That would be so cool. Keep dreaming, not a bender, remember? Suyin sat down by the old futon her mother had dragged into the cellar. Just listen and pay attention. It's not like you're going to get anything out of this, except a way to help Jinhai. The first thing you need to know, Lee interrupted her thoughts, setting up a semicircle of 5 unlit candles in front of where he sat, is that everybody has chi and everybody can learn to move it. Wait, what? Chi's what Amaya uses to fix people, right? Jinhai bounced as Lee sat him down. Yes, Lee nodded. It's what all benders use to affect their element, and fighters use it too. Though I guess a lot of them here don't know what they're doing. A warrior who does know is an incredible fighter. Years ago, Master Pian Dao of Xu Jing resigned from the army and retired. Somebody decided they wanted him back, and they sent 100 soldiers to convince him. He defeated them all. Li had a slight wry smile as he looked at her parents. He's a swordsman, not a bender. And you've actually met this legend? Her father asked doubtfully. I did, Lee acknowledged. A long time ago. The teenager looked down, smile rueful. I kind of hope he doesn't remember. I was a little brat. He poked Jinhai gently in the shoulder. Even younger than you. Jinhai eyed him. I'm not a brat. You sure? I was at your age. Lee shrugged. Just remember, everybody has chi. People who aren't benders have to work hard to learn to move it, but they can. And that's how you learn to... Lee glanced at her parents again, and colored slightly. Sorry, I thought the door was stronger than that. Wow! Jinhai breathed. Suyin picked her jaw up off the floor. I could learn to do that? If you practice, Lee nodded. It takes years. I've been training since I was 4.
4? We don't start self-defense in school until...
Mei Xiang froze suddenly, eyes wide.
My lord.
No. Lee's unscarred eye was almost as wide, and his face paled. No, please, I'm no one's lord. He looked down, dark hair not long enough to hide pain.
Not anymore.
Lord? Suyin thought, aghast. Lee's a noble? He wasn't anything like the snooty brats from the upper ring. She'd met enough to know.
Mommy?
Jinhai looked between them, worried.
It's complicated, love.
Mei Xiang smiled at him.
But if you're ever in trouble and you can't find us, find Lee. He'll look after you. That's what families like his do.
Lee swallowed dryly.
I'm honored by your trust. I'm going to have to talk with Huojin,
Mei Xiang said ruefully.
He's probably jumpy as a rabbaroo with no idea why.
Huh? Lee said, confused.
Later, she said firmly,
made a shooing motion.
Go on.
Okay, Lee said warily.
looking at Suyin and Jinhai, drawing them in with his gaze. Meditation teaches concentration and focus, and in firebending, qi comes from the breath, so we are going to start with a breathing meditation.
We're going to breathe, Jinhai said, dismayed. I do that all the time.
Oh, really? Li gave him a wink and pinched a candle wick. It puffed into flame. Suyin held on to her jaw this time as Li pinched the rest of the candles alight. They were small flames, ordinary, compared to the whispered horror stories of fireballs that could take a man's face off, or flame daggers that seared armor and heart into the same black char. But the casual way he'd done it? Like Dad, skating aside just enough dirt to uncover a sight layer. Just precise. Li sat up straight, in a formal meditative pose, not too different from the ones she'd seen her father use, though Li's hands rested on his knees instead of clasped together in front of him.
Can you breathe like this?
Slow and steady, Li breathed in through his nose and out through his mouth, quietly, almost soundlessly. And the flames breathed with him.
So where's my candle? Jinhai asked.
If she weren't focused on breathing, Suyin would have smacked herself in the forehead.
You get one when your parents and I say you're ready, Li said lovely.
Breathe. Nope, sit up more. Straight. Your mind's busy a lot, and that makes you more nervous, which is not good for fire. We're trying to calm everything down. In through your nose, out through your mouth. It was the most exhausting 15 minutes Suyin had ever breathed. She wasn't sure what was more impressive, that Li kept nudging Jinhai back to work without ever losing his temper, or that the candles never wavered, keeping Li's rhythm.
This is hard,
Jinhai complained, breathless.
Yes, it is.
A swift exhalation, and all the candles went out at once.
Ask your father what it takes to learn earthbending as well as he has. It is hard, and it takes time to learn.
Li stood and stretched, then dropped back into a crouch to look Jinhai in the eye.
But you want to make sure no one gets burned again, right?
Yeah.
Jinhai stretched out his legs and slid a glance at Li's face, curious and a little scared.
Is that what happened to you?
For a moment, Li went very still, let out a slow, controlled breath.
That's complicated. Grown-up stuff.
He looked into the distance, seeing somewhere else.
Firebenders can get focused on a goal and not think things through. Sometimes that's a good thing. A lot of times, though, it can get you in really big trouble.
Li smiled wryly. That's one of the reasons we meditate, so you can clear all of the noise out of your head and think. Because fire doesn't want to think. It attacks, it burns, it's never patient. So you have to think twice as hard to stay out of trouble.
His smile gentled. That's one of the reasons we love our parents so much. If the fire gets too hot, they pick us up by the scruff of the neck and haul us back.
Because firebenders are bad,
Jinhai whispers, eyes downcast.
Who told you?
Li's eyes went hard for a moment. He shook it off, traded a glance with Suyin's parents, who both looked angry and stricken, Miss Young's hand covering her mouth.
You're not bad, Suyin said firmly. You're my little brother. You just don't know what you're doing yet. Remember Mom's stories about Min on the roof when he was little? He got up there and started bending tiles all over the place. It took Dad hours to put everything back.
But he was scared of me.
Jinhai's eyes were wet. She could see him holding back a sniffle.
I don't like boulders flying my way either, Li said dryly. He'll learn to live with it.
Jinhai did sniffle, and Suyin held back a sigh.
Sure, her little brother had reasons to be upset, but this wasn't going to help.
Want to see something neat? Li offered, pinching a candle back to life.
You know, there's a reason Amaya's teaching me.
Halfway to crying, Jinhai looked at him suspiciously, blinked, and almost backed into Suyin, as Li's circling hands blazed candle flame to gold and green that wreathed his hands like Amaya's water.
You can touch this, Li said quietly, glancing at them both. It doesn't burn.
Spellbound, she reached out with Jinhai. It was warm. It tickled a little, like Amaya's water, poking at her to see if anything needed fixing. Beyond that, it didn't feel like anything, except snuggling up in blankets on a cold morning. Just warm.
You're a healer, Suyin blurted out. How? I never heard of...
She cut herself off, not wanting to fill Jinhai's ears with what she had heard.
My mother had a secret, Li admitted. I didn't figure it out until a few weeks ago.
He let the fire flicker back to the candle, fading to ordinary hot yellow.
Fire's not bad, Jinhai. It's what you do with it that matters.
He stood and waved them both up. Now we work on falling. Professor Tingche coughed quietly.
I believe you are going to cover dousing fire.
I am, Li stated. It's connected. You shift how you fall so you don't get hurt. And that's part of how you shift a flame's energy, so it goes out.
A bit counterintuitive,
Tingche mused.
I'm used to impact being used to break things. Though I suppose this would be breaking a fire's energies.
He inclined his head. Li looked back and glanced at the two younger children. Like this. Watch. Quick as that, he tipped over onto the futon, landing with a soft thump before he curled back onto his feet, light as a cat owl. See? Jinhai stared.
Erk?
Suyin managed.
Don't worry, I'm here to catch you.
Over and over they fell, until Suyin thought she was too breathless to move. But she wasn't, quite. Li had her fall twice more before nodding her off the futon and sitting Jinhai down by the candle. Now we try the tricky part. Breathe. Feel your heartbeat. He waited for her brother's shy nod. Reach out, not with your hands, but with your feelings. Reach for the flame. It's like a little heartbeat. Feel it?
Wow,
Jinhai breathed.
This I can't do, Suyin thought wistfully, watching.
Had the flame flickered when Jinhai focused on it? She couldn't be sure.
Do what I do.
Li reached out a hand, holding it flat and level. Jinhai mimicked him, glancing at Li's calm face.
Now, Li said quietly, push down. Just like pushing your fall into the futon, so it doesn't hurt. Down and out.
But it's alive! Jinhai dropped his hand, horrified. No, I won't hurt it!
Jinhai?
Li's voice didn't snap, but it cut through panic like a knife.
You can always light another fire.
But...
Fire is everywhere. Lamps, candles, stoves, all kinds of places. There are lots of fires, but you only have one mom, one dad. Jia, Min, Suyin, they can't stop a fire if it gets out of control. You can. You have to.
Li stared at her little brother, deadly serious.
I know it hurts. I know you don't want to, but that's what being responsible is. Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to because our family needs us.
He rested a hand on Jinhai's shoulder.
Do you understand?
I guess so,
Jinhai whispered.
Good. Now follow me.
Li held out his hand again.
Down and out.
The flame flickered, guttered, snuffed, a wisp of gray smoke snaking upward.
Jinhai burst into tears.
Good, Li said firmly. Glanced up and beckoned Mei Xiang over anxiously.
That's good, Jinhai. That's just what you need to do.
He backed off, letting a worried mother gather up her son and tell him how brave and smart he was. Leaned back against a cellar wall,
running a shaking hand through damp black hair. Oh, I'm glad that's over. Suyin didn't grab Lee by the throat, but she glared hard enough to clue him in that she wanted to. Professor Dad was looming up behind her, and that was enough to scare any teenage boy with sense. Why is my brother crying? It hurts to stop a fire. Lee looked between them both, tired and serious. Part of it's the bending. Your energy's in the flame, and when you start out, you can't pull it back fast enough not to hurt. But part of it's spirits. We love fire, Suyin. Killing it's like cutting yourself open. It feels wrong. He took a deep breath, let it out. But we all learn to put fires out. We have to. Tingcha studied him a long moment and nodded. Can you come again tomorrow? I already asked Master Amaya, Lee stated. Yes. And it is real pain, Tingcha raised a gray brow. Lee winced and snatched the candle off the floor. Sorry, I'm not used to being able to help. Hold this. Startled, Suyin gripped the relit candle, bringing it over as Lee stroked that odd fire over Jinhai, dimming sobs to hiccups. You know what really helps? Lee said, fire flickering out. We should go get some sunlight.